hope you all had a good afternoon. Who won at the football? I was thinking of playing, but I don't have a change of clothes, and wear shoes were the big issue. The brothers in our church played on Friday night, so I'm in Denmark.
Men fra kirken spillede fredags, men jeg kunne desværre ikke være med. Det er jo Danmark.
Okay, if we open once again to the same passage as before, Romans 14.
Så starter vi med 14, som vi også spillede nu.
And this is part 2.
Det er to.
And of course we've been trying to answer the question.
Og vi har prøvet at besvare spørgsmålet.
Of what is the balance between keeping and enjoying your liberty to do certain things as a Christian, but not being a stumbling block to your brother. And of course, in the first sermon, when we began to look at this passage, we saw that these Christians who have these differences in this chapter, they are Christians, they are in the faith.
Vi så, at de kristne, der tales om i kapitel 14, er i troen. De er alle sammen kristne.
We establish that the differences they have and the application to those differences are over secondary issues.
Vi klargjorde, at de forskelle, de kristne havde, var sekundære områder.
Not over things essential to salvation.
Altså ikke doktriner, som er essentielle for den kristne tro.
We also considered why Christians have these differences, because there are a number of reasons we've looked at.
Og vi kigger også på de forskellige grunde til, at de kristne har de her forskellige.
Because there are different stages of maturity in their Christianity.
Fordi der er forskellige niveauer af modenhed i deres kristne liv.
We come from different backgrounds also, and of course false teachings have an influence on this.
Og vi kommer alle sammen fra forskellige baggrunde, og falsk lærer kan også påvirke de forskelligheder.
And of course I gave that analogy of my daughter or my son asking me to do something to show why, if something is not inherently wrong, why it can be a sin to sometimes do it.
Jeg gav også det her billede med min datter eller min søn, at de spørger mig om noget, og det ikke er absolut forkert, men at de kan tage det til at gå imod deres samvittighed.
And we looked at the importance of having a good conscience. What the teaching here is not to force someone against the conscience.
Vi kigger på, at det er at have en ren god samvittighed, at den her lærer siger, at man ikke skal gå imod sin samvittighed.
We said why a good conscience is vital to the Christian life.
Vi kigger på, hvorfor en ren samvittighed er vigtig for at vi kan leve det kristne liv.
So to continue with this now.
Så for at fortsætte.
Going back to that analogy I just gave of one of my children.
Så går vi tilbage og kigger på det billede, jeg lige gav jer med min datter eller min søn.
And that was, of course, if they ask me if they can do a certain thing.
Og det er sådan, at hvis nu de spørger mig, om de kan gøre en bestemt ting.
And I say, yep, go ahead and do it, enjoy yourself.
Og jeg siger, at jeg bare gør det.
But if they misunderstand me and they think I said absolutely not, don't do it ever.
Men hvis de misforstår mig, altså at de tror, jeg siger, at de må absolut aldrig nogensinde gøre det.
Well, I said, go and do it.
Jeg sagde, at de skulle gøre det.
But they don't understand I said that.
Men de forstår ikke, jeg har sagt det.
And so if they then go and do it, they're doing it in rebellion.
Så hvis de så vælger at gøre det, så gør de det i oprør.
And so that is an example I gave to illustrate why, if something is not inherently wrong, like eating these meats, why it is wrong to someone who thinks it's wrong.
Så den her illustration skulle gerne hjælpe os, at den som mener, at det er forkert at spise, selvom det ikke er forkert at spise det, stadigvæk gør noget forkert, hvis personen er ved at gøre det på grund af samvittighed.
Because they're doing it in rebellion before God.
Ja, de gør det faktisk i oprør imod Gud.
Now, just going back to that analogy now.
Lad os gå tilbage til illustrationen.
If I am saying one thing,
hvis jeg siger én ting,
and my children are constantly hearing the complete opposite of what I say,
og hvis mine børn konstant hører det modsatte af, hvad jeg siger,
then there's a problem there, isn't there?
Så er der et problem, er der ikke?
You see, my point here,
min pointe er,
is that Paul is certainly not saying in this passage,
at Paulus overhovedet slet ikke siger i den her passage,
that these misunderstandings do not matter.
At de her misforståelser ikke betyder noget.
And so never discuss them.
Så diskuterer dem aldrig.
Paul is not saying here,
Paulus siger ikke,
that they may be weak in their understanding,
at de måske er svage i troen,
but never try to help them. Let them stay weak.
Altså svage i deres forståelse, men lad dem bare blive den her svage.
We can be absolutely sure of this,
vi kan være absolut sikre på det her,
because Paul himself in the text,
fordi Paulus selv i teksten,
he gives them the stronger and correct understanding twice.
Han giver den rigtige og den stærke konklusion to gange.
In verse 14 and also in verse 20, he tells them plainly.
I vers 14 og 20 siger han det klart.
He says, "I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ."
Han siger, jeg ved og i Herren Jesus vis på.
I know that in the Christian faith.
Jeg ved i den kristne tro.
That nothing is unclean of itself.
At intet er urent i sig selv.
And he does the same in the parallel passage, of course, in 1 Corinthians.
Han gør det samme i den parallelle tekst i 1. Korinther.
There again, he puts down the truth.
Der giver han igen og sandhed.
That since those idols, since those meats,
siden de afguder, siden de kød,
since what they have been sacrificed to is nothing,
siden det, at de har offeret til guder, som ingenting er,
because there is no God beside the Lord,
fordi der er ingen guder in Herren,
and all of creation is his,
og hele hans skabning er hans,
then the Christian is free to eat those things.
Så er den kristne derfor fri til at spise det kød.
You see, my point here,
min pointe er,
is that these two letters, Corinthians and Romans, would have been read in these churches.
Min pointe er, at de her to breve, det er til Korinther-menigheden og til Romer-menigheden, ja, den romerske menighed,
read in the churches.
Ja, de vil blive læst op i kirken.
And Paul was not afraid of giving them the truth on the matter.
Han var ikke bange for at give dem sandheden omkring.
Paul doesn't think, well, there are some Christians there who have a different opinion on this.
Han tænker ikke sådan, at der er nogle kristne, der har en anden holdning til det her.
And so I'm not going to mention the truth because I don't want to offend them.
Så derfor vil jeg ikke nævne det, fordi jeg er bange for at, jeg støder dem eller provokerer dem.
Remember, he even calls them weak Christians here.
For det første, så kalder han dem faktisk svage i troen.
Ja. Weak in the faith, in their understanding of it.
Altså i deres forståelse af.
You see, those people would have heard what Paul said.
Altså, de her mennesker, de her kristne, ville have hørt, hvad Paulus siger.
I mean, is it not normally the case?
Er det ikke normalt sådan?
Where those who are more legalistic,
at dem, der er mere logiske,
and have their long list of rules what a Christian cannot do,
og har den her lange liste over, hvad en kristen ikke kan gøre.
Is it not the case where they often imagine themselves as the strongest
in the faith? Er det ikke til sådan, at de ser sig selv som de stærke i troen?
And that everyone else who does not agree is compromised.
Og dem, der så ikke er enige, går på kompromis med deres.
I mean, Paul says such in verse 3.
Altså, Paul siger i vers 3.
Notice in verse 3.
Ja, vær opmærksom på, hvad der står der i vers 3.
Not only have the ones who have been eating the meat despising those who abstain and looking down on them.
Altså det er kun dem der spiser, som ser ned på dem der ikke spiser.
Mm-hmm. But those who are abstaining, he says, have been judging those who eat.
Men selv dem som ikke spiser, de dømmer faktisk dem der spiser. Mm-hmm.
So the weak, more legalistic Christians here.
Så det ser faktisk ud til, at de svage kristne faktisk er.
Have been condemning the others.
Og har fordømt de andre, som spiser.
And so you can almost hear the disdain when Paul calls them weaker.
Så man kan næsten forestille sig, hvordan de oplever, at Paulus kalder dem svage.
You see, when Paul says in verse 5 here,
når Paulus siger i vers 5,
each one should be fully convinced in his own mind.
Der står nemlig, at han skal være helt overbevist i sit eget sind.
He's certainly not saying here that these things don't matter.
Han siger jo helt klart ikke, at det ikke betyder noget.
He's certainly not saying, you know, whatever is true to you is true to you.
Han siger ikke, at det der er sandt for dig, det skal være sandt for dig.
This is another verse here that gets misinterpreted.
det andet vers, det her, enhver skal stå fast ved sin overbevisning.
You see,
det bliver fejlforstået.
What he's telling us here is, before doing something, they should be properly convinced according to the scripture.
Altså det her egentlig siger, at de skal være overbevist i forhold til skriften, når de gør det her.
Remember, the context here is coming to a more correct and fuller understanding.
Altså konteksten er at komme til en større forståelse
of what is right and wrong before God.
Hvad der er rigtigt og forkert foran Gud.
Well, Paul's point is that we don't push people into doing things when they are convinced they are sinning.
Altså pointen er, at vi ikke tvinger mennesker til at gøre noget, som de mener er synd.
But we are first to help bring them to a correct understanding.
Men først skal vi bringe dem til den rigtige forståelse, til den sande forståelse.
And then they can do it in good faith with a clear conscience.
Og så kan de gøre det med en ren samvittighed.
And they can enjoy those meats.
Og så kan de nyde det kød.
But this Paul points out in this passage.
Men det pointerer Paulus i passagen.
Bringing them to a correct understanding must be done in a loving and patient way.
Det at bringe dem til en bedre forståelse, det må gøres i en kærlig, på en kærlig måde.
As noticed, Paul begins verse 1 by saying,
læg mærke til vers 1.
Welcome him.
Der står, byd ham velkommen.
The one with the weaker understanding.
Ham med den svære forståelse.
But not to quarrel over opinions.
Men ikke at skændes over meninger.
You see, there are some Christians who they only want to speak to so and so. They only want to speak to a certain person who has a difference of opinion than them. In order to correct them on that certain thing. You know, so every time they get together, it's like pistols out.
Så hver gang de kommer sammen, så har de pistolerne klar.
Let's have a verbal fist fight.
Lad os have en verbal knytnævekamp.
Over the same things we've already discussed and elbowed each other in the face about 20 zillion times.
Og de samme ting, som vi har skændtes om og givet hinanden albuen en trillion gange.
And go over all those same arguments again.
Så går vi over de samme argumenter igen.
Brethren, I think when people act like that,
jeg tror, at når mennesker opfører sig sådan,
it's more a case of trying to prove that they are right.
Så det handler mere om, at de prøver at bevise, at de ser det rigtigt.
Than actually wanting to help and act in love for the other person.
Altså, de ønsker ikke at hjælpe den næste.
Paul is certainly condemning that type of thing here.
Og det er helt klart, at Paulus fordømmer det.
You see, that is not being patient and loving and understanding.
Det viser ikke tålmodighed og forståelse.
But another thing I want to point out in this regard.
Men en anden ting, som jeg også ønsker at pointere i forhold til det.
As Paul does here.
Som Paulus også gør.
Is that these Christians, they don't have these differences because of some sort of compromise.
Altså, de har ikke de her forskelligheder, fordi de går på kompromis.
Yeah, Paul clearly points out in verse 6.
Fordi det kan man nemlig se, at Paulus pointerer i vers 6.
That the one who does and the one who does not.
Altså, den som gør og den som ikke gør.
They are both doing what they are doing in order to try and honor the Lord.
De gør det begge to for at ære Herren.
Paul makes that quite clear here.
Det gør han meget klart og tydeligt for os.
You see, it is so common for Christians to think.
Det er typisk for kristne at tro.
That the only reason they don't see things my way.
Ja, altså det er typisk for kristne at tænke at bare, altså grunden til de gør ligesom jeg.
Is because they're compromised.
Det er fordi de går på kompromis.
I mean, the weak Christians here, Paul says, are judging the strong.
Paulus siger, at de svage troen, de dømmer faktisk de stærke.
They are thinking, they know it's wrong to eat this meat.
Altså, de tænker, de ved, at det er forkert.
And they should not be doing this on the Sabbath.
Og det burde de ikke gøre på sabbaten.
And they know it's wrong not to keep all these rules we have.
De ved, at det er forkert ikke at overholde de her regler, som vi nu har.
But they have no interest in following the law. They're walking in disobedience.
Og de har ikke nogen interesse i at vandre for Herren. De er faktisk ulydige.
Well, Paul says to them here,
men Paulus siger til dem,
who are you to judge the servants of another?
Han siger faktisk, hvem er du, som dømmer en andens tjener?
He tells them it's not their relationship to you that matters most.
Han siger, at det er ikke relationen til dem, som betyder mest.
So don't try to make them bow down to you.
Så prøv ikke at få dem til at bøje sig eller knæle for dig.
It's their relationship to the Lord that must come first.
Det er deres forhold, relation til Herren, som kom i første række.
And God is able to make him stand.
Og Gud er i stand til at oprejse ham.
So don't try and make them bow down to your conscience.
Så prøv ikke få dem til at knæle for din samvittighed.
But by being impatient and judging and despising.
Så
by being impatient and judging and despising.
Altså ikke ved at have utålmodighed og se ned på dem.
But then you have the stronger Christians here, despising and being impatient with the weak.
Og så på den anden side har vi så også de stærke kristne, som er utålmodige over for de svage kristne.
You know, it often amazes me, brethren.
Det overrasker mig ofte.
That despite,
in spite of, på trods af.
And I've been guilty of this in the past, and probably most of us have.
Jeg har selv været skyldig i det her, og det har nogle af jer måske også.
That despite we as Christians can take a long time to come to a correct understanding of something.
Trods det, at vi selv kan tage lang tid at komme frem til en forståelse.
From the moment we do.
Men fra det tidspunkt, vi så kommer frem til den rigtige forståelse.
We can be insensitive or impatient.
Så kan vi være utålmodige.
With any other Christian who does not instantly see it our way.
I mean, hver anden kristen, som ikke ser det som vi ser det.
Yeah, despite the fact it took us 2 years to get.
Trods det, at det tog 2 år for os at komme til den her forståelse.
But this is an important point, brethren.
Det er en vigtig pointe at lære.
You see, if we are going to act as loving and patient towards others, as Paul tells us here.
Hvis vi skal opføre os som kærlige mod andre og tålmodige.
We are not going to do that if we just write everyone off as compromised.
Så gør vi ikke det ved at se på folk som om de går på kompromis, fordi de ikke føler det samme som.
Because they don't instantly see things our way.
Bare fordi de ikke ser det på samme måde som os, lige med det samme, så skal vi afslå dem.
Yeah, they may be trying to do what they do sincerely before the Lord.
De prøver måske at gøre det, de gør oprigtigt for Herren.
Now then, with all that explained, what about this matter of being careful that our liberty, our freedom to do certain things as Christians, is not the cause of stumbling others? The original question, of course, is what is the balance between not falling into legalism and not causing a brother to stumble?
Ikke at falde i logiskhed og ikke få en eller virke som en ansøgt sten for en bror.
What is the balance here?
Hvad er balancen?
Because when our Lord Jesus was walking with his disciples through the grain fields on the Sabbath day,
da vor Herre Jesus gik med sine disciple på en sabbatdag,
and the Pharisees took great offense,
og fariserne blev sure,
that Jesus' disciples were plucking off the heads of corn on the Sabbath day,
at hans disciple spiste majs.
Korn.
De spiste på en sabbat.
Yeah. Jesus did not rebuke them.
Der gik han ikke sin disciple i rette.
His disciples and say to them, look, we're trying to win these guys.
Han sagde til dem, I må ikke spise, vi prøver at vinde, vi prøver at vinde dem.
So don't cause unnecessary offense.
Så I skal ikke vække anstød.
By parading your liberty in front of them.
Ved at, bruge jeres frihed over for dem.
And showing them that we don't keep your strict Sabbath laws.
Og ikke at vise dem, at I ikke holder deres strikse lov.
In fact, it seems that Jesus went out of his way to offend them.
Det ser ud til, at Jesus faktisk gik derud sammen med dem for at
purposely healing them and breaking the Sabbath on the version of it.
Hvor han
healing people.
Ja, han helbredte folk, og han brød en dag sabbaten.
He was constantly breaking the Sabbath regulations right in front of them.
Altså han brød konstant deres religiøse
When the Pharisees were offended because Jesus' disciples didn't do all the hand washing rituals.
Da Jesus blev stødt over, at de ikke holdt alle deres regler om at vaske sig.
Before they ate.
Før de spiste.
Jesus did not say to them.
Der sagde Jesus ikke.
Look, we don't want to offend these people. We want to win them.
Der sagde Jesus ikke. Vi ønsker ikke at vække andet sted. Vi vil prøve at vinde dem.
So just for now, we better do their interpretation of the law.
Så for nu af, der prøver vi bare at tolke deres måde at se på loven.
And what about when Paul strongly rebukes Peter to his face?
hvad med det tidspunkt, hvor Paulus han går i rette med Peter?
In front of others, it says that.
Foran andre.
And Paul wrote a letter about what Paul wrote about what Peter did in a letter.
Paulus skrev faktisk om hvad Peter han gjorde i det skrev han i en brev.
That every Christian in every church would read.
Som alle kristne i hvilken som helst kirke ville komme til at læse.
And so eventually everyone heard what Peter did all around the ages.
Så det endte jo med at alle igennem alle årene kom til at kunne læse hvad Peter.
I mean we tend to think of Peter as the one who had a problem with pride, don't we?
Vi plejer at se Peter som en der havde problemer med stolthed.
Well, he may have lacked a little humility at the beginning of his walk with the Lord.
Altså, han manglede måske noget ydmyghed i hans start.
When he said, "Even if all others will deny you, I will never deny you."
Han sagde, at selv hvis alle benægter dig, så vil jeg ikke.
But we see there he was certainly humbled at the end.
Men vi så også at til sidst han blev ydmyget.
That was no little thing to take.
Det var ikke en lille ting at modtage.
But Paul, he wrote there in Galatians 2 about rebuking Peter to his face.
Paulus skriver om hvordan han gik i rette med Peter i Galaterbrevet 2.
And listen to what he says in verse 11.
Og læs, hør hvad han siger her i vers 11.
For before certain men came from Jesus, Peter was eating with the Gentiles.
Før der kom
from James, sorry. Men from James.
Før der kom nogen fra Jakob, spiste han til Kephas, nemlig sammen med hedningerne.
Yeah, before these men came down from James, Peter was enjoying his Christian liberty.
Før der kom nogen fra Jakob, der nåede Peter sin kristne frihed, da han spiste sammen med hedningerne.
Eating with the Gentiles.
Da han spiste med hedningerne.
Lapping up his barbecued pork ribs.
Well, he spiced sick of barbecue.
Enjoying his French-style rare steak where you put your knife into it and the blood pours out.
Yeah, pointing out he spiced sweet food.
You may think that's wrong, Peter wouldn't have done that, but Paul says you're a weak Christian if you do.
Peter would sicker because I could draw them and Paul would see it and say that's
by the way, I think it's kind of vulgar that French steak with all the blood pouring out.
Jeg synes, det er lidt
But I don't think it's the same.
Jeg tror ikke, det er en synd at spise det.
But when it says that when these people came, Peter drew back and separated himself.
Det står, da de kom, trak Peter sig tilbage og skilte sig ud af frygt for de omskårne.
He would no longer do that.
Han vil ikke længere gøre det.
Fearing the circumcision party, it says.
Det han frygtede de omskårne.
Those Judaizers who were saying you have to keep all these Jewish laws and rituals to be a Christian.
Alle de jøder som sagde man skulle holde loven og lade sig omskære.
He suddenly acted in fear of offending them.
Altså han agerede i frygt for at være en anstødssten for dem.
What I want you to notice though is the result of Peter's conduct.
Det jeg ønsker I skal lægge mærke til er den resultatet af den måde han opførte sig.
Because there's a very important lesson here.
Fordi der er en vigtig lærer for os.
You don't have to turn there or you'll miss what I'm saying whilst you're turning.
Du behøver ikke gå dertil til skriftet.
But Galatians 2 verse 13 says.
Men Galaterbrevet 2 vers 13 siger.
This was the result of Peter suddenly acting differently.
Og det var resultatet af at Peter han opførte sig anderledes.
It says, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy.
Der står, og sammen med ham hyklede også de andre jøder, så selv Barnabas blev reddet med af deres hykleri.
So the rest of the Christians in that church, who was from an ethnically Jewish background,
so resten af de kristne, som kom fra en jødisk baggrund,
they were following the example of Peter's conduct.
De fulgte i sporet af Peter i den måde han opførte sig.
And so when he stopped eating with the Gentile Christians,
so the Peter stopped med at spise sammen med hedningerne,
and he started observing all these Jewish regulations again,
og da han startede igen begyndte at overholde de her jødiske regler,
so did they.
Så begyndte de også.
Because they was influenced by Peter's example.
Fordi de lod sig påvirke af Peters eksempel.
But it gets even worse.
Men det bliver værre.
Let's listen to verse 14 of Galatians 2.
Hvis vi læser vers 14 også.
But when I, this is Paul speaking,
Paulus der siger i vers 14, men da jeg,
when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, that is Peter, before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?
Han skriver, men da jeg så, at de ikke gik lige frem efter evangeliets sandhed, sagde jeg til Kefas i alles påhør, når du, der er jøde, lever som hedning og ikke som jøde, hvordan kan du så tvinge hedningerne til at leve som jøder?
If you, Peter, who was born a Jew,
hvis du, Peter, som er født jøde,
could not keep all these laws, they were only condemning you when you was trying to live under them.
Hvis du ikke engang kunne holde loven, og du oplevede dig selv fordømt, da du prøvede,
then why are you compelling the Gentile Christians?
Hvorfor i verden prøver du så at gå på de hedenske kristne?
And part of the way he was doing this was by his conduct, by his example.
Ja, hvordan prøver du så, Peter, for at dem til at leve ligesom dig, den måde du selv var et eksempel på?
Why are you compelling them to keep all these laws?
Hvorfor opfordrer du dem til at holde alle de her lov?
You see the points I am making here, brethren.
Min pointe, jeg prøver at come from her,
is that especially in the example of a pastor,
especially in the example from pastor,
just someone who is generally thought of as a more mature, a more experienced Christian,
eller en som man ser som en mere moden kristen,
someone who is looked up to, and so others are looking at your example to follow.
Altså en, som man ser op til, og som andre prøver at følge fodspor af.
If that person is living in the realm of legalism,
hvis den person lever logisk,
they're just like Peter there, they are going to be putting others into bondage.
Så vil det resultere i, at Peter, ligesom andre, vil føre dem ind i en lovtrætter.
If a pastor or merely another Christian who people look up to,
altså hvis en pastor eller en anden kristen, som folk ser op til,
for an example to follow,
altså som et eksempel, man prøver at følge,
and that is a lot of Christians.
Det er mange kristne, der gør.
If they are enjoying certain liberties in private,
hvis de nyder enkeltstående friheder i det skjulte,
but just in case others are offended,
men bare i det tilfælde, at andre bliver provokeret,
they keep the liberty completely secret from others,
så lever de den her kristne frihed helt for sig selv, så ingen ser det.
And so all other people get to see,
så andre folk ser,
is this kind of legalistic, stern appearance.
Altså, de får kun det her udtryk af den logiske kristen.
Then, just as in Peter's case here,
så ligesom i Peters tilfælde,
it's going to lead others astray and put them in bondage.
Så de også leder andre på afvej og i logiskhed.
You know, it dawned on me quite recently.
Det lyset. Det gjorde for mig for nylig,
that I've been to more than a few Christian homes over the years,
at jeg har været i mange kristne familier i deres hjem,
where inadvertently, by accident, I've spotted a bottle of wine.
Altså nogen tilfælde, så uden min intention om at finde en flaske vin, så har jeg lige ved set.
Yeah, I've gone in the cupboard looking for a cup of soap. It's a wine there. And I thought to myself, oh, I didn't realize they drank alcohol. Now this is in probably every other Christian home I go to. Now listen, someone may or may not want to drink alcohol, that's not the issue.
Altså nogen ønsker måske ikke at drikke alkohol, det er ikke det der problem.
But what dawned on me here,
men det ligesom gik op for mig her,
is that there are obviously a lot of Christians who do drink alcohol privately.
At der er mange kristne, der drikker alkohol privat.
But when they are around other Christians,
men når de så er sammen med andre kristne,
whether it be in their homes or they go out for a meal together,
om de er derhjemme med dem, de spiser udbys med nogle andre,
they give the false impression that they are teetotalers.
Så giver det her danske indtryk, at de er
teetotalers, never drink.
Som aldrig drikker.
Do you see the problem with that?
Ser I problemet med det?
Number one, by their conduct,
for det første ved deres opførsel,
they are treating every other Christian as if they are a weak Christian, or as if they all have a problem with alcohol.
Så opfatter de andre kristne, altså de svage, som om de har et problem med alkohol.
Fine, be careful, but just ask them.
Altså, det er okay, du er opmærksom på det, men prøv bare at spørge.
And then act appropriately.
Så opfører dig som anstændig.
But number two, the second problem with that.
Men det andet problem med det.
Is it just spreads an atmosphere of legalism.
At det spreder en atmosfære af logiskhed.
You see, you have couple A and couple B.
I har for eksempel par A, par B.
And they both think the other is big against drinking.
Begge de her familier tror, at de hver sag har noget imod at drikke.
But they both drink alcohol in private.
Men de drikker begge to, begge familier private.
And so when they're with the other, they won't have a glass of wine just in fear of offending the other, and the other's the same.
Når de så er sammen, så er de frygt for at anstøde den anden, så drikker de så ikke rødvin, og de gælder begge familier.
But when they're alone, they do both.
Men når de så er enige, så gør de.
You know, I loved seeing the liberty I had when I was in Belgium not too long ago.
Jeg nåede virkelig at se den frihed, jeg havde i Belgien, da jeg besøgte det.
After church on Sunday, they went out for a meal.
Efter gudstjeneste om søndagen.
And they all had a beer on the table with their Sunday dinner.
Så de ud og spiste og havde drukket øl dertil.
I mean, I couldn't have one, it's got gluten in, I can't drink beer.
Jeg kunne ikke drikke øl, fordi der er gluten i.
But they was just enjoying a beer. I mean, it's what they do in Belgium. They weren't getting drunk, they were just enjoying it to the glory of God. In fact, because of course the beers are quite famous, I mean, they seemed offended that I ordered a coffee instead.
I mean, turning
down one of the famous Belgian beers. It seemed almost going out of my way to offend them. It's like going to Switzerland and frowning upon their chocolate. Of course, no one ever did that second thing ever.
But we eat cheese in Denmark.
Yeah. And your bacon. But what I'm saying here, brother, is that there's got to be a balance. We've got to be careful both ways. You see, we can stumble by hypocrisy. Living out one thing in private. But then in public giving this impression of a legalistic, lifeless Christianity. Paul said in Romans 14:17.
Paulus sagde i Romerbrevet 14.
Here in the text we read earlier. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Romans 14:17.
You see, he rebukes them here. Because they was giving the false impression that being in the kingdom of God. Being a Christian, in other words. It is all about observing a long list of rules and regulations. You know, observing all these dietary laws and certain festival days and so forth. Paul rebukes them there because by their conduct, they're giving a false impression of Christianity. That it's all about observing all these outward rules and regulations. Rather than a relationship with a person. You know, and so what I'm saying here is that in how we act towards one another. And to the outside world, we've got to be careful not to give a false impression of Christianity. I mean, in verse 1 here, we see that these Christians are not only differing on opinion on these things,
i forhold til deres meninger, at de er forskellige på det her område.
But having the same view on these issues had become a condition for fellowship.
Men at det her, at de forskelligheder, de havde, var blevet en måde, de havde fællesskab på.
That's why Paul tells them here, receive each other.
Derfor Paulus siger, at tag imod hinanden.
They weren't accepting each other as Christians.
De accepterede ikke hinanden. De kunne ikke have fællesskab.
Or you be in that church over there as far away from me as possible.
Deres attitude var, at du bare fællesskab derovre, så langt væk fra mig i den kirke.
And I'll be in this one.
Og så er jeg her.
But also when they finally got together.
Men så når de endelig kom sammen og havde fællesskab.
Every time they did speak.
Så hver gang de så sagde noget.
All they wanted to do was correct others' views on this matter. That's why he says in verse 1 there,
det er derfor, han siger verse 1,
but not to quarrel over opinions when you do get together.
Altså ikke at sætte jer til doms over hinandens meninger.
You see, let me ask you, what type of impression does that give to the world?
Hvilket indtryk giver det i verden af, hvad kristendom er?
You see, all it does, it gives the impression that the Christian faith,
det giver det indtryk af, at kristendom, den kristne tro,
it is all about being right on those things.
Altså handler kun om at have den rigtige mening på de områder.
It suggests to the outside world that those things are what it matters to be a Christian, above
det viser,
everything.
Det viser verden, at det at være en kristen, det handler virkelig om at være enig om det over alt og alle andre diskussioner. Yeah.
But also regarding being off balance.
Men også i forhold til at være i ubalance.
I mean, I think this is a really good example. There are some Christians who argue things like, they say things like, a Christian should never touch alcohol in public. Never have it at a wedding, ever. Never use wine at the Lord's Supper. Because if you do, they say,
but hvis I gør det,
sooner or later you're bound to come across someone who has a previous problem with alcohol.
Yeah. På et eller andet tidspunkt, så vil I komme til at opleve, at der kommer en til at smøde, som så har haft et tidligere problem.
And they say you might make him stumble.
Og så får I måske ham til at falde.
Now to be honest, that is, for a number of years, that was the only interpretation just about I ever heard of this whole chapter.
Altså i mange år, så var det den eneste fortolkning af det her skriftet.
And what is ironic about it is most of those say that don't actually drink or drink very little anyway.
Det ironiske er, at mange, som siger det, det her, det er tolkning, de drikker overhovedet ikke alkohol i forvejen.
So they've made this chapter completely non-applicable to them.
Så de har gjort deres skrifter slet ikke egnet til at passe til dem selv.
Well, they prepare to sacrifice absolutely nothing for their brother or sister.
Altså, de ønsker overhovedet slet ikke at ofre noget for deres brødre og søster.
But that view anyway is completely off balance.
Eller som sagt, de ønsker at offer alt for deres
It's completely
måde,
wrong. It's completely wrong and unscriptural.
Det er slet ikke overensstemmelse med skriften.
Because that would be accusing the Lord Jesus himself of being irresponsible.
Og det i sig selv vil anklage Herren Jesus for at være uansvarlig.
When at the wedding of Cana, he turned water into wine.
Da han til bryllup i Cana lavede vand til vin.
And that is accusing the Apostle Paul of being irresponsible.
Det vil også betyde, at man anklager Paulus for at være uansvarlig.
When he was writing under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
da han skrev under Guds inspiration ved Helligånden,
in 1 Corinthians, and he repeated our Lord's command of using wine there at the Lord's Supper.
I 1. Korintherbrev, hvor Paulus faktisk giver os det bud, at vi skal
He already told us in 1 Corinthians 6 that there were ex-drunkards in the Corinthian church. Such were some of you, he said.
At der var tidligere i kirken, og nogle af de kristne var som dem.
But people come up with further arguments.
Men der andre kommer med flere argumenter.
And they say, no, we should never use our alcohol to say the Lord's Supper.
De siger, ja, vi bør aldrig bruge alkohol til hans måltid.
Because just one little drop could send someone off on a four-day bender.
But you buy a little drop, can send them
a four-day drinking session.
Altså, det kan få dem tilbage deres til deres hold.
Do you see the problem with that?
Se problemet med det?
And that's basically saying,
det, det,
You know, Jesus and Paul, they were just primitive people.
Jesus og Paulus var bare primitive.
They don't know what we know today.
De ved ikke, hvad vi ved I dag.
If they knew the things we knew, then they wouldn't have said what they said.
Hvis de ved, hvad vi ved I dag, så ville de jo ikke have sagt det, de nu sagde.
I mean, I think that's blasphemous.
Jeg mener, det er blasfemisk.
You know, I saw a cartoon drawing that comes about on the internet, a guy who does these Christian cartoons with a teaching.
Jeg så et billede af, hvor en præsten tegnede det her, og så med en tekst.
And most of these cartoons are really, really good.
Og mange af hans billeder er rigtig gode.
But this one was trying to make the case.
Men det her billede prøvede ligesom at bringe det her argument.
That a Christian should never have, say, a glass of wine on social media like the Facebook picture of them there.
At en kristen bør aldrig have et billede på Facebook, hvor han drikker alkohol offentligt. Yeah.
They are enjoying the liberty. They shouldn't put on social media.
Altså, de bør ikke poste noget på Facebook, som viser deres frihed kristen.
Just in case another Christian sees it and is offended, or someone who has a problem with alcohol.
For at undgå, at en anden kristen ser det, eller en ser det, som har et problem med alkohol.
But again, you see that's off balance. You see what it's doing.
Man ser igen, at det I ubalance, så hvad de gør.
It's accusing our Lord of being irresponsible at the wedding of Cana.
Altså det siger egentlig, at Jesus var uansvarlig.
It's actually accusing the Holy Spirit of being irresponsible.
Altså det fordømmer
the Holy Spirit of being irresponsible, accusing.
Altså det anklager Helligånden for at være uansvarlig.
Because he inspired the Bible.
For han inspirerede Bibelen.
And wine is used in a positive sense right through the Old and the New.
Og vinen bliver faktisk brugt som en positiv genstand I både det gamle og det nye testament.
You can apply this to a lot of things.
Du kan applikere det her til mange ting.
But my example thus far,
men mit eksempel indtil videre,
is that we don't want to lead others astray.
At vi ikke vil lede andre på et sidespor.
By leaving them with a false impression of Christianity.
Ved at give dem det her falske indtryk af kristendom.
And binding them to an example of legalism that we are giving them.
Og binde dem til sådan en form for lovskid, som vi lever.
Again, whether you want alcohol or not, you know that's it's an individual person.
Altså om I vil have alkohol eller ej, det et individuelt spørgsmål.
But what I'm talking about here is this kind of atmosphere of legalism where Christians act completely different when they're not together.
Altså det jeg prøver at bringe frem, det det her lovske miljø, hvor man ikke drikker offentligt sammen, men så man gør det så derhjemme. Mm.
You see, one principle we should take from this, brethren, is we should never be led by legalism. Those who are the more legalistic in this passage, they may think themselves as the stronger, and be judging and condemning everybody else. But Paul calls them here the weaker. Christians.
Men han kalder dem faktisk de svage.
Well, obviously Paul is not saying here let the weak lead the church.
Og Paul siger overhovedet slet ikke her at de svage skal lede kirken.
He's obviously not saying the weak must instruct the strong Christians on how to become weak in their understanding.
Han siger ikke at de svage skal undervise de stærke I hvordan de skal blive svage ligesom dem.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:29.
Paul sagde I 1 Corinthians 1:21.
For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience?
Let's start.
1 Corinthians 1:29. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? Why should my liberty
Hvorfor skulle min frihed
be determined by someone else's conscience?
Ja, afhængig af en anden samvittighed.
Yeah, you see, if they think something is wrong,
altså hvis de tænker, der noget, der forkert,
he says, don't push them into doing it.
Du skal ikke presse dem til at gøre det.
If someone thinks they are sinning against God by doing something,
hvis en tænker om sig selv, at han synder, hvis han gør det her mod Gud,
then don't push them into doing it.
Du skal ikke presse dem til at gøre det.
Before they have come to a correct understanding.
But you come to an end for stories.
But he then makes it clear that he's not saying that your conscience he makes it clear, you know, your conscience should never be lorded over by another.
Men han siger også, at en samvittighed ikke skal være, altså skal være under pres fra en anden kristen, at en anden skal være herover sin samvittighed.
1 Corinthians 10.
10, sorry. Wrong passage there.
Okay. Yeah.
29.
Thank you.
Ja, det står i vers 29. For hvorfor skal den frihed, jeg har, dømmes af en anden samvittighed?
Yeah, but you know, if someone thinks something's wrong, don't push them into doing it before they come to a correct understanding.
Så I skal ikke presse dem til at gøre noget, indtil de kommer til en større og bedre forståelse.
But he also makes it clear there, he's not saying that your conscience should be lorded over by another.
Men samtidig siger han heller ikke, at jeres samvittighed skal være under en andens.
You see, all these verses are often misused as a way of binding other Christians to someone else's convictions. You see, quite often those who go around saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. Because you may offend so-and-so. Quite often they're not that interested in so-and-so.
Er der ofte ikke interesseret i den person, som de kommer til?
What they are interested in is that everyone lives by their convictions.
Det er de interesseret i, at andre lever efter deres overbevisning.
And rules and regulations.
Deres regler og regulationer.
And this is something in our flesh, brethren.
Det er noget i vores kød.
You know, we want to be right.
Vi ønsker at være rigtige.
You know, someone buys an Apple computer and they are big against Windows. And vice versa.
Vi har nu købt en Apple computer, og de står for Windows.
You know, one just wanting it to be right. You see, here's the difference in not being a stumbling block. This is what I believe it boils down to. Is your action really going to cause the person to stumble? Is your action really going to cause them to sin against their better judgment? Or are they just offended because you don't agree with their traditions?
And so
they misuse these verses to try and get you to bow down to their convictions.
So they misuse these scriptures to try and get you to bow down.
Let me suggest that if in their response they are despising and condemning you like a Pharisee, then I strongly suspect they are in the second category. That you're doing something is not really going to cause them to go against their conscience.
Altså, den måde, du handler på, ikke får dem til at gå imod deres samvittighed.
There's no danger of that.
Der er ikke en fare i det.
But they are offended because you won't bow down to their convictions.
Men de lader sig støde, fordi du ikke vil knæle for deres overbevisning.
Again, normally, when someone is despising and condemning others like a Pharisee,
altså, når nogen foragter eller fordømmer det som en fariser,
that's normally a dead giveaway.
Det er normalt.
You see, there, what I'm saying is there is a huge difference between that. Than someone who is genuinely grieved and put into temptation. Let me give you an example of how this works in practice in our church. We have had great joy over the years.
Vi har oplevet stor glæde over årene.
In seeing people come to our church who at first abound in legalism.
Vi har set folk, der kom til vores kirke, som var meget logiske.
But we are patient with them. We don't try and force them to go against their conscience.
Vi er tålmodige med dem. Vi prøver ikke at få dem til at gå imod deres egen samvittighed.
And over time, as their understanding increases,
og over tid, hvor deres forståelse,
you see the legalism drop off,
bliver bedre, så forsvinder deres logiskhed.
And their relationship with Christ rise.
Og deres relation til Kristus.
Bit by bit as they grow in their understanding.
Lidt efter lidt vokser de i deres forståelse.
And that is what it should look like.
Det er sådan, det bør se.
That is glorious. The person, you see, does not go against their conscience.
Du ser att den personen inte går emot sin samvete.
But over time they come to a more correct understanding.
Men over tid så kommer de til mere korrekt og bedre forståelse.
But let me tell you, there is a huge difference between that.
Der er en stor forskel fra det.
Then another person who comes into a church with an unteachable spirit.
For det, og så en der kommer ind i kirken, som ikke ønsker at lade sig undervise.
Who effectively sets themselves up as a teacher, trying to draw away disciples to themselves.
Som prøver selv at gøre sig til en lærer og få andre disciple til at vandre væk fra.
Normally by self, they attempt to bind their legalism on others.
De prøver at binde andre til deres logiske.
You see, obviously, Paul is not saying here.
Det er helt klart, at Paulus ikke siger her.
That we are to let those who are weak be teachers in the church.
At dem som er svage i troen skal være lærer i kirken.
And bind their convictions on others.
Og så bind deres overbevisning på andre.
Paul has strong words to say about those people.
Altså Paulus har stærke ord at sige til dem.
Warn the unruly.
Advar dem som ikke vil lade sig styre.
You see, in verse 13 here.
I vers 14 her. I vers 13 her.
Paul says, therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide, this is to be the governing principle.
Altså i vers 13, der har vi det, der skal være det regulerende princip. Lad os derfor ikke længere dømme hinanden, men I skal meget hellere dømme sådan.
Never to be a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother.
Ingen må bringe sin bror til at snuble eller falde.
Jeff Thomas pointed out on this.
Jeff Thomas pointed
that we can do a lot of things that may cause another to stumble.
If you can go many things to find and to fail
without even realizing it.
Even though we are maximum.
And of course we regret it afterwards.
Og vi fortryder det selvfølgelig bagefter.
But that's not really what Paul's talking about here.
Men det er ikke det, Paulus taler om her.
You see the imagery here in the language.
Billedsproget her.
Is you know someone else is coming.
Du ved at en anden kommer til dig snart.
And so you put something in their way to purposely try and trip them up.
Og du prøver at bevidst at få dem til at falde over nogle anstødssten, som du lægger i vejen.
Let me give you an example.
Jeg vil give et eksempel.
Another Christian you know,
en anden kristen, som du kender,
may have a deep conviction about what you can't do on the Sabbath.
Har en rockfast overbevisning om, hvad man må gøre på en Sabbath.
Or the Lord's Day, as they call it.
Eller Herrens Dag, som man også kalder det.
Now, you may, after church, be watching a sports game on TV.
Du ser måske en sportsbegivenhed om søndag efter kirken.
With a few others, and that's fine.
Med et par andre.
You have liberty to enjoy that to the glory of God.
Du har frihed til at glæde over det til Guds ære.
And you don't have to keep it secret from the other person.
Og du behøver ikke holde det som en hemmelighed over for den anden.
Yeah, if he's judging you for it, Paul says here, he's in sin.
Altså hvis han dømmer dig på det her, så siger Paulus her, at han er i synd.
Just as you would be in sin for despising him for living up to his convictions.
Og på samme måde som du ville have forfagtet ham, hvis han ikke levede op til din overbevisning.
You know, I thought it was glorious today. I sent an article out to our church.
Jeg synes det var herligt i det, jeg sendte en artikel ud til vores kirke i dag.
You know, there was a BBC breakfast show, the TV, the new presenter is a Christian.
Der var det her BBC morgenprogram.
And the paper of the article is one thing he insisted on in his contract he would never work Sunday.
Altså der var i artiklen at han i sin kontrakt sagde at han aldrig ville arbejde på en søndag.
Now we keep the Lord's Day by grace, but you know quite a few of Christians in our church they may go have to go to work later on a Sunday.
Altså vi er meget glade for vores søndag i kirken, men selv nogen på vores kirke arbejder
så det senere. What I'm saying is they don't have the same convictions as this other Christian man.
Altså de har ikke de samme overbevisninger som den her kristne mand.
But it made my heart rejoice seeing him live up to his convictions.
Men det glæder mig at han levede op til sin overbevisning.
Again, you let's put it back to my example. You know, someone has a strict observance of the Sabbath.
Altså igen tilbage til min illustration, altså en har en meget fast overbevisning om at man skal holde sabbaten.
You're with a group of other Christians watching a sports game on TV after the Sunday meeting.
Og du sammen med andre kristne ser en sportsbegivenhed efter kirken.
You have liberty to do that, to enjoy it. You don't have to keep it a secret from the other person.
Altså, I har frihed til at gøre det, men I skal ikke holde det som en hemmelighed for den anden person.
Paul makes it clear in this chapter at the beginning that if he's judging you for it, he is in sin.
Paulus gør det klart, at hvis han dømmer dig på grundlag af det, så er han i synd.
So you don't have to keep it a secret.
Så du behøver ikke holde det som en hemmelighed.
But listen, there is a difference between that.
Den forskel mellem det.
Then inviting the other person over.
Og så invitere en anden over.
Telling that him, you know, you're, without telling him you're going to watch a sports game.
Altså så uden at fortælle ham at nu skal vi se en sportsbegivenhed.
But telling him you're just having an extended time of fellowship.
Men at I bare har en forlænget fællesskab.
And so you're enticing him to go against his conscience.
Og så er du egentlig med til at få ham til at gå imod sin samvittighed.
To give you another example.
Et andet eksempel kan være.
This could be done with someone who has a conviction about never drinking alcohol.
Altså det kan være med en person som har en overbevisning om at han aldrig skal drikke alkohol.
And then another person saying to them.
Og så er der sådan en anden person der siger til dem, eller til ham.
You know if you have trifle?
I don't know.
Maybe some cake where you put alcohol in.
En trifle er en kage hvor man kommer alkohol i. Det kunne være et eksempel.
Okay, whatever that cake is. Maybe sometimes it's without. Yes, sometimes with. But we have this thing called trifle anyway. It's like jelly with custard and cream on the top.
Yeah, it's like cream and alcohol.
But there's a difference between, say, another person has a problem, has a deep conviction for whatever reason about alcohol.
Der siger der en der har en overbevisning om at han ikke skal drikke alkohol.
And the other person says to them.
Så en anden person siger til ham.
You know that trifle or cake you had before?
Du ved den her cake du havde før.
It was laced from top to bottom with alcohol.
Altså, der var nærmest,
feeling a bit tipsy, are you now?
Der var nærmest fyldt med alkohol, den her kage.
See, it's not that bad, is it?
Det var ikke så slemt. Alkohol var ikke så slemt.
I've seen this done twice, actually.
Jeg har faktisk set det her to gange.
Not in Christian.
Det er ikke i kristne sammenhæng.
But do you see what I'm saying by that example? They are enticing someone to do something before the conscience is properly informed. Sometimes this happens if any of you have ever been a vegetarian at one stage. A vegetarian may have strong convictions that they, you know, that eating meat is cruel to animals.
Altså, vegetar kan have en overbevisning om, at spise kød, det er at gøre ondt mod dyr.
And so they go to the grandma's for dinner.
Så de tager til deres bedsteforældre til middag.
And the grandma's always trying to sneak in a bit of chicken in the soup or whatever.
Og bedstemor får også at få en kylling i salaten eller i suppen.
And then tell them later.
Og så fortæl dem det senere.
You see, rather than being patient and properly trying to inform that person's conscience, do you see what they're doing by these examples? They are attempting to make people go against their conscience. They're trying to defile the conscience, basically. You see, what we're supposed to do is be patient with people, not push them into doing something until they feel they can do it before God.
Det man gør i stedet er at være tålmodig og ikke presse dem, men være glad til at deres samvittighed får en bedre forståelse af hvad der er rigtigt og forkert.
But what they're trying to do in that example, rather, is get them to do it by stealth, defile their conscience, and then it becomes easy to do it just simply because they have a defiled conscience.
Men det de prøver at gøre i stedet er at besmitte sig deres samvittighed, så de har nemmere ved at gøre det, men så gør de det så med en besmittet samvittighed.
And let's not forget here, Paul also addresses the weak.
Lad os ikke glemme det her, at Paulus også adresserer de svage.
If another Christian is doing something that they don't do, like drinking alcohol in this instance, or eating certain meats they don't agree with, if they're doing it in their presence, Paul urges to the weak here,
så siger han faktisk til de svage her,
they must not frown upon the strong judging them.
Altså de må ikke dømme de stærke.
And try to bind them to their conscience.
Og bind dem til deres samvittighed.
You know, we speak about peer pressure.
Vi snakker om tit om gruppepres.
Like with young ones in schools, and you know, with others pushing them into doing a pressure. Do you understand that phrase?
Altså i skolen hvor børnene oplever gruppepres fra andre, som vil have, at de skal gøre noget, som er imod deres samvittighed.
Well, listen, there is a lot of peer pressure in Christianity.
Altså selv i kristendom er der
with people frowning on another over things, trying getting them to bow down to them. I'll end with this example. John Wesley, the great English preacher and evangelist, he was once having dinner with a wealthy man.
Han havde engang en middag sammen med en meget rig mand.
Who had a very attractive daughter.
Han havde en meget attraktiv datter.
And his daughter had these fine gold rings on each finger of her hand.
Og datteren, hun havde sådan nogle fantastisk smukke ringe på alle hendes fingre.
Now another preacher who was with John Wesley was greatly offended by this.
En anden prædikant, som var med John Wesley, var meget, altså det virkede anstød i ham over at se det.
And he picks up the lady's hands and he says, "What do you think of this, Mr. Wesley?"
Og så tog han så datterens hånd og viste den til John Wesley. Hvad synes du så om det?
Is this hand fit for that of a Methodist?
Passer det ind i en metodistisk måde at være på?
And John Wesley held her hand.
Og John Wesley så tog så hendes hånd.
And just said, "My, that is a beautiful hand."
Og hun sagde, og han sagde, "Sikke en smuk hånd."
That night, that girl listened to everything John Wesley said.
Den aften lyttede den datter til alt, hvad John Wesley sagde.